I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 484. I hate the words coming soon.
Don't lie to me. Don't lie. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a good week.
It's been great. Especially the Saturday. Very successful.
Covering from PAX East. Which, there's still more stuff to come that will be on our website that is influenced by PAX East. There's a bunch of other things that I got my hands on that I haven't talked about yet. You know, Shadow Warriors is released, and we definitely have opinions about that. I know KBD already had his piece up, but I have some thoughts as well. I'm actually super psyched about the game. So definitely keep an eye on our website because there's more stuff to come that is PAX related and PAX inspired and PAXity, PAXity, PAX, PAX, PAX.
PAX, if you didn't know.
Just in case PAX. Especially because it's the only PAX that we're going to get in this year because we are not going to Prime this year. So, you know, we tried to make the most of it. I even have some, like, random stuff that I did that, like, I normally don't do. Like, I went to some merch booths, and I found some, like, specialty merch booths, and I want to talk about the specialty merch booths, but I'm going to write about the specialty merch booths. What? No.
What?
Yes. Yes. But that's neither here nor there, because that's not this podcast. Well, primarily, it's not this podcast. This podcast, we are definitely going to talk about anime. We're going to talk some games. I know Panda has some, like, residual PAX stuff that she wasn't able to actually get out on our roundtable last week because, as discovered by many people, she went to panels and didn't actually play a lot of games. And so she has, like, panel stuff to share. And, you know, maybe we'll get to that. But first, I kind of want to jump off because I want to talk about Nintendo.
Okay.
We don't talk about Nintendo a lot.
No, we don't. I think the last time I seriously talked about Nintendo was when I was kind of addicted to Splatoon.
Correct. I was about to say, the last time we talked about Nintendo was Splatoon, and that was all you, because I don't own it, and I have not turned on my Wii U since beating Bayonetta 2. So,
right.
You know, we haven't really talked a bunch about Nintendo and their console, and I've made no bones about the fact that I wasn't really impressed with the Nintendo Wii U. I've made it clearly known the only reason why I own a Wii U is because Bayonetta was exclusively coming to the platform, so that's the reason I bought it. That game, because I needed to play that game. Like, it had to be in my life. It was a thing that I needed in order to survive.
And then you got it.
And then I got it. And I played it. And I beat it. And then I was like, yeah, whatever, Wii U. And then I thought, okay, well, you know, when they showed off the new Zelda game that was coming, the big, wide, open, immersive world one, I was like, all right, well, that'll be another reason for me to turn on my Wii U when that comes
That's
out.
That's about it.
And then Nintendo, last week, had a big announcement, and they started talking about the Nintendo NX, which is their next home console. So Nintendo started talking about their new Wii U replacement,
which apparently is going to launch globally March of 2017.
Correct. It launches next spring. So Nintendo has already moved on, basically, from the Wii U hardware. And Lord knows what you know, really the new hardware focus is going to really be, because they were really vague about it, okay? They're like, yes, we are working on a console. It is codenamed currently the NX, which we all knew. Because, right. you know, that had been bouncing around since after the Wii U came out. And Sony and Microsoft started focusing on motion in their consoles. Nintendo started working on their next console. The thing that they have said is that it will not be like the Wii U. There was a quote that I read that was like, we're not building the next version of Wii or Wii U. It's going to be unique and different from those things. I don't know what Nintendo can do at this point on a home console that will make it a real competitor for what currently is out from Microsoft and PlayStation, knowing that PlayStation is, you know, revving its 4.5 version right. with just a little more power. It's got a little more power, you know, so that you can do the VR real awesomely, or you can just do the VR like kind of sortily with the current PlayStation.
Like, I just kind of wish Nintendo would kind of step down, and not because they don't have, you know, any killer IP. I mean, they do have the monopoly on, obviously, you know, Mario and Kirby and Zelda. You know, so like when they make those games, like those games people will literally wait years for. But like, when I think of E3, I don't think of Nintendo right away anymore. In my mind, it really is Sony, Microsoft, and PC. Only because Nintendo has has a strong niche audience of, you know, family gaming and, you know, not a lot of AAA titles and not a lot of decent third-party games. I mean, I kind of think the Wii to the Wii U, I think the push of that console came too soon. Like, I think when they were seriously having the talk about delivering the Wii, they should have made the Wii U, like the Wii U should have been the Wii, I think. And I think then that jump from the Wii U to whatever NX is going to be would make sense. Because, I mean, there's so many people out there right now who still don't have Wii U's, who still play Wii over Wii U, and it just wasn't as impactful as I'm imagining Nintendo thought that release was going to be.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my questions about all of that. Because I think you raise a couple of good points, but there are some things that I have questions about. Like, is Nintendo, you know, the console for family and kids because that's really who they want to be? Or is that who, as far as the gaming community has seen them and worked with them, relegates them to be, right? Like, think about it. Third party can be the same across all the platforms, okay? There really isn't anything other than the architecture hindering third party from bringing their games to a platform, unless they do some kind of exclusivity deal, which that's completely on them, right? So EA can bring the same game and pretty much the same experience out on desktop as well as on Xbox and on PlayStation and on Nintendo, right? So really, it's just the core IPs that differentiate each of these consoles, right?
Right.
Okay, and so and that's the same for all of them, okay? Microsoft has their IPs that are theirs that they don't bring anyplace else. You know, your Halos and now your Quantum Breaks and your Gears of War and things like that. Sony has them as well with your God of Wars and your, you know, Uncharted and whatnot. And then on the Nintendo side, what you have are the Mario and Zelda IPs that are exclusively theirs. Okay, and it just so happens that for the most part, those games are seen as really being kids' games, but when you start digging down into them, they're really not. Like, the Link games are, in fact, very complex, and quite a few of them are quite dark. Like, Twilight Princess is dark.
Right.
If you're paying attention to it, it is a dark game. I would argue that it is not a kids' game. Kids can play it. I mean, there's no blood in it, but, you know, there is.
Right, but there's still, I mean, if you understand the story of Zelda, like, if you're a fanatic, which there are some who have sat there and have put the games in the right order and depending on which Zelda, because apparently there's more than one.
There is. Link. There's more than one Link. Link.
Mm-hmm. You know, depending on which one, the story of that particular Link can get and does get dark and forlorn and depressive and deep and introspective. So you do get that.
Right.
But
and so then you start going into some of the other games that the platform has. And again, you know, kids can play them, but I would say that if you start going through them and you think about the game and what's going on in the game, they are more adultish games. They're not, you know, just kids' memory games or things like that. Like, you know, there's a lot of strategy and there's a lot of, you know, cognitive things that you have to do to actually be very good at Pokemon.
There's a, I know.
Okay. You know, so it's again, it's a game that kids can play, but it is not a child's game, really. You know where I'm going? Like, Fire Emblem, same thing. Like, kids could play it, but...
But should they?
It's when you start thinking about it, it is a very adult game. So I think that one thing that we as a community need to do is stop thinking of Nintendo as the family platform. It just tends to be popular with family because the majority of the games and the way that they're marketed and the way that you see them, they're very bright and they're very family oriented. Like, there are a chunk of kids games that are available on the Xbox and on PlayStation and on Steam and on PC, you know, Locomotive Tycoon, like, definitely right. Okay for kids, exists all over the place, on every platform. It's just not pitched hard by those platforms. So I think one of the things that would be really good for us to do as a community is realize if we want an equal playing field, then we need to talk about the consoles to begin with as equals and not, okay, so here's where, like, the gamers are and here's where family goes. And here's where kids go. Like, that's for them. Because then you start immediately making it not a platform for you. Like, I found myself doing that. I found myself thinking of my Wii U as a kid's box that just has a couple of adult games. And I really do think that that's part of the reason why I don't use it as much as I use my other consoles. Like, the dust that is gathered on that gamepad is kind of ridiculous. And it's because I have thought of it as a kid's box, and outside of Bayonetta, I'm like, they don't have anything for me. Which is, I think, incorrect of me to say, because I have always enjoyed Smash Brothers games, but I never picked one up this go-round with the Wii U. And again, I think it's because I had already made up in my mind, especially with Splatoon and the way it was marketed, like, in my brain, I was like, this is a kid's box and I'm not a kid, so I'm gonna go and play on the grown-up boxes, because that's what I do. And I think that that's unfair. And I think a lot of people did that this go round with the Wii U, which is part of the reason why it did not sell as well, because it was not as positioned as well. You know, Nintendo came out and said, we're building a box for gamers and it's going to be more powerful and all this stuff. And we believed it. And then the specs started coming out and it wasn't going to do 1080 and it wasn't going to have this chip. And so again, we started putting it in this box of, oh, well, that's a kid's box. It's not a for real box. Like, they're not really coming after real gamers because the damn thing doesn't even do 1080p. It's an upscaled 720p. And blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm trying...
Blah, blah, blah. I've got things to say. Blah, blah, blah.
Right? I'm trying desperately to get out of that mode of, if it's not 60 frames per second and it's not 1080i or 1080p,
then
it's crap.
Then you want nothing to do with it.
Right. Because I do think that for a while I fell into that camp, and that's not fair as far as
I agree with
making
you.
Judgments across the board. So I'm really trying to come back to, is it fun to play? Period. End. Is it fun to play? And if it's fun to play, I don't care what platform it's on, it's fun to play, so I'm going to play it. And if I can only get it on one platform, then I'm going to have that platform so I can play the thing that is fun to play.
Amen, sister.
And if I can do it with my friends, even better. But I'm that's one of the things coming out of PAX for me that I really wanted to make sure happened. So I'm trying to go into this NX thing with an open mind to give it a shot. Because right now, I have my original Wii in a box with all of its controllers and stuff in my cellar. I do have my Wii U connected. I let it do its updates. I have not turned that thing on to do anything on it since I completed Bayonetta. And I did get the remastered Twilight Princess, the one that came with the amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the box. I put it on my mantle almost immediately after it was shipped to me. I have not cracked it open. I have not put it in my system or anything. And I don't even know if I will. And that's, wow, like, sad. That's sad. Like, I came very close to giving it to you, and then I was like, nah, I've done enough for her. Right? Yeah, I'll just keep it. I'll put it on my mantle. So it is sitting on my mantle next to my Grand Theft Auto 5 Collector's Edition box, and I probably will not open it or put it into the system. That's how jaded I am against the Wii U. And, again, I own It's Not Fair to the system. So don't come at me with the hate speech and everything. I'm owning that it's not fair. But after hearing the announcement about the NX and knowing that Nintendo is going to come out with a new console, it's not that they're going to be talking about it in March. They've said they're launching it next year, which means they're pretty close to having a solid NX right now. Because in order to actually launch, they got to be in production here as far as making boxes pretty soon.
That's right.
Okay, so they know what this box is going to be. And they're just not sharing that with the world. And that makes me very nervous. Because they're going to have new hardware this time next year. I have no idea if it's going to work with the existing controllers I have or not. Which means it's an even heavier investment.
That means new peripherals.
Okay,
like it's messy.
Remember the jump from Wii to Wii U, and they were like, "Well, some things will work and some things won't."
Well, the funny thing about that for me is, you know, like I had a Wii. I didn't buy a Wii U. At one point, I was playing. I had a Mii on your Wii U for when we'd play some things together, and the fiance has a Wii U that we've actually just recently kind of packed up that we don't actively play. But, I mean, I didn't transfer, like, my Wii information to a Wii U or anything. And I know you did, and I know he did. And I got to see that process. And, I mean, it's really cute, by the way, if you've never done that and you have both systems. I actually strongly suggest that you do. Because it's not as simple as, like, a loading bar. Like, it's this mini movie, essentially, that you watch as your information gets stored onto your new system. And it's engaging, actually, surprisingly enough, if you've never done it. I know you've done it, bro.
Yeah.
But I meant, you know, people who listen to us who may not know. But
right,
there's a lot more to it than just a simple download and you're all set.
You know, and so I'm trying to keep an open mind about the NX, but man, oh man, I'm not feeling really good about it. Especially as part of the announcement, Nintendo mentioned that Zelda game that we had seen the video of and they were teasing that...
Isn't it exclusively going to be on the NX?
It's going to be on the NX. It is not
coming... Now, here's my thought on that. So, you've got your established Zelda fan base who will sit there and they will wait and they will wait... And they will wait for a Zelda game.
And they have been waiting.
And have
and waiting,
been waiting.
And waiting. And
so,
waiting. Because remember, the big, cool Zelda game was teased like 3 E3s ago. So we believed
right,
that it was the game that was coming for the Wii U. There were a big chunk of people who bought Wii U's. Because this Zelda game, the open world one, was coming to this platform. That's what we were led to believe. So again, this is where I start having a hard time keeping an open mind. Because as those teaser videos went out, the Nintendo team knew that this game was not going to be a Wii U title. And even
right,
if at the beginning when they were first teasing it, they realized that, okay, we're going to do this for the Wii U, and got into some dev cycles and went, nope, actually, we need something more powerful. They still...
You think that they should have announced that outright.
They still let it linger and did not correct anyone on the wait for the Zelda game, because, man, it looked awesome. And they trolled people, because they would be at E3, and they would have, you know, the gorgeous poster for the new Zelda game teasing about it. With, you know, coming soon. I hate coming soons, by the way. Just don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't.
Like, oh, it's coming soon, all
yeah,
right.
Don't be like that. But, you know, now I feel, like, betrayed. Like, you know, people who
I feel like you've been let down.
I'm going to take it even stronger. I'm going to say I feel like betrayed, because I was looking forward to that Zelda game as well. It's the main reason that to this day my Wii U is connected to my entertainment center, because I thought, okay, I'll be turning this back on for the Zelda game, you know, any month now. That will happen.
Well, now it's not going to happen. So now you can pack up your Wii U and you can go hang out with your Wii in the basement of the Esch
House. And here's my thing. I don't know that they will hang out. I don't know that I will not trade these systems in.
Wow, that is big for you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And I'm heavily considering trading them in so that I can have a credit on file, because I am seriously considering getting a PlayStation 4.5.
Wow, bro.
And the main reason that I'm considering the 4.5 is I did have a good experience with PlayStation VR when I was at PAX East. And so I'm slightly, it's one of the things I didn't get to talk about on the podcast last week.
We were PAX retained.
I will honestly say that I had two great experiences with VR. One with the HTC game on the HTC Vive, and another with PlayStation VR. And while I'm still not 100% sold on VR, I do think that it has some very interesting things to offer gameplay mechanics. And I do think, unlike 3D, that it could enhance the storytelling and the player experience overall in some very specific genres. I think that it would definitely take shooters. I think that it would definitely be a boon to survival horror.
I agree.
And I also think that it could give way to create some new interesting genres. You know, if you start thinking of bringing performance into things like the stage presence game, but you start taking that and adding in music, so virtual drumming or performing, it could lend itself really interestingly to those genres. So, like I said, I'm not 100% sold on it, but I'm like 56% on a positive for it. And so, you know, because I have an original PlayStation 4, if I am in fact going to go the PlayStation VR route, then I really probably ought to have the 4.5 system, because it will run it in a much smoother and nicer way. You can do PlayStation VR with an existing first run PlayStation, but I have a feeling, like most things, there are just going to be some things that will run smoothly and some things that will have no issues if they're running on the 4.5 system versus the 4 system. And, you know, just flat out having two PlayStations is not a place I want to be. So if I am going to replace it, I would like to not completely replace my PlayStation with just what I get for the PlayStation trade-in. So I'm seriously considering trading in when the PlayStation 4.5 comes out. My Wii U, my Wii, and my PlayStation for the PlayStation 4. Because Nintendo has now given me absolutely no reason to turn my Wii U on. Now that the Zelda game is not coming out on the console, and they're coming out with new hardware in less than a year. They've given me absolutely no reason to turn on a Wii U, and they've now given everyone absolutely no reason to buy a Wii U between now and March. So it's just bad business moves, I think, all the way around for Nintendo, and I'm not impressed. I'm trying to keep an open mind, but I'm fighting real hard, and I'm not coming up with a whole lot of winners. At least for me. Now, they have said that they're not going to be showing off the NX at E3 in June, and so they said that they're going to focus on the new Legend of Zelda game, but just the Wii U version of it. I don't understand this.
Neither do I.
So you make an announcement, we've got new hardware, we're going to launch it in less than a year. However, at one of the biggest shows that international media goes to, we are not going to show that off. We're going to show off a Zelda game that we have for the Wii U, but we're not going to show off this new hardware. We're not going to show off this new game on this new hardware.
They probably they should just not even talk about it.
Oh, by the way, suck my balls.
Right. Like, basically. These nuts. Suck these nuts, consumers.
Basically, like, that's basically what they did.
And are doing?
They basically were like D's nuts.
D's Gatty.
That's but that's basically what they did. They D's nutsed us.
Yep. They did.
Oh, you know that Legend of Zelda game? Yeah, it's gonna be on the NX and
it's gonna be D's nuts.
And we're gonna have like stuff on the Wii U and we're gonna come out with new hardware next year though, and you can't see it. Why? D's nuts.
D's nuts.
And so yeah, we're gonna be at the show and we're gonna have a booth and we're gonna like show you all the games that we have going out. We're probably gonna show you Miitomo, even though you already have it, because you know it's on your phone. And why? Because D's nuts. And nuts. You're gonna like it because D's nuts.
Because maybe, just maybe, and by that I still mean no, maybe I might say something to you relating to it, but I won't.
Nintendo's probably not going to get my money on an NX system. It's going to have to do some really amazing things, and they're going to need to have some serious third-party support in order for me to...
Nintendo will not be getting NX money out of me, because I'd rather buy a Nexus 6 phone than buy anything Nintendo.
What? What?
Yeah. Yep. A Nexus 6.
Wow. So you're switching from iOS?
I'm saying, if I was put in a room where I was tied to the chair.
You would rather. Here's
your credit card. You have one payment. You have to buy the NX, not knowing dick about it, or an NX 6. And knowing that I live Mac in my house, even though my fiance he's got a Samsung something and a PC and stuff. I don't know. But, like, so our house is divided, but I stay true, even though, like, I'm getting really close to wanting to switch my phone, but that's neither here or there, not for this podcast. But if I was, like, had a gun to my head and they were like, you had to choose one, even though I like me some video games, which clearly this podcast should tell you, along with anime and all that other stuff, that in extreme duress, I'd rather buy a Nexus 6 phone than this NX.
Yeah. That's
kind of sad.
Yeah, because, I mean, out of the two of us, you're the heavy Nintendo person.
I'm more Nintendo.
Yep. And, I'm very close to...
I'd rather buy 80,000 of the same amiibo than the NX. And I don't even collect amiibos. I have one. My fiance got me the Squid Girl because when I was all about Splatoon, he found me a Squid Girl one. But that's it. I don't have a mantle with several of them up in their boxes. I ain't got that. I got one and I opened, so it's already devalued. So clearly that's not...
Yeah, I'm not about the collector life that way with the amiibos or with the...
You got amiibos and don't even play.
No, but I'm not... Wait, I said I'm not about the collector life in that way.
Okay, that way.
Yeah, thank you. Like, listen to the words that come out my mouth.
In my mind, that sentence, that was not italicized.
Yeah, no, in that way. I have, I think, like, 7 amiibos. They're all out of their box. And they're characters that I really like, and that's why I wanted those amiibos, not because I wanted, like, super collector things with them. So I don't, like, I thought about
maybe I should get all the Princess Peach or all the princessy ones. Because, I mean, I know that they have, like, 3 or 4 different styles of the Princess Peach.
For some of the core characters, they have several styles from several games.
And I thought about that for a bit, but I was like, nah. And then when Splatoon went out, I was like, oh, but you can use your Splatoon one for the single player part of Splatoon. And you obviously get a really cool outfit if you do all the missions with your amiibo, which is why I really wanted my amiibo. And I only did half the missions, so I only have half the costume, but you know, whatever.
There's only one amiibo left that I kind of really want, and I don't know if I'm going to end up getting it, but...
Is it the Wigglypuff, Jigglypuff amiibo?
No, it's actually not the Jigglypuff amiibo. What I want is the Yarn Yoshi.
Oh, you should have told me.
I just did.
Well, which color Yarn Yoshi did you want?
I would prefer either green or blue.
So I'm not going to tell you that I had one... And I gave it away.
Okay, yeah, don't tell me that.
I'm not going to tell you I had a blue Yoshi that I gave away. Blue Yarn Yoshi.
But yeah, Yarn Yoshi. That's really the only one. I just want the Yarny. And then that's basically about it. I have my Rosalina. I have my Sheik, which was a birthday present, which Sheik is Zelda in drag, which I love.
I mean, she's just incognito.
No, she's in drag. I like to think of her in drag, and that makes me happy, so it's Zelda in drag. Okay, I have my Star Fox. I have my Pit.
You should have gotten Pepe. You're Pepe. You are not Star Fox.
I have Star Fox.
I'm just saying, you're Pepe.
I'm just saying.
I gave you the Pepe dog tag from my group because you're the Pepe to my Star Fox.
That's fine. I have Star Fox. And I have Lucario. No, not these nuts. Lucario. That's it. Like, those are the amiibo that I have.
And I thought you had Mirth. Or Mar.
Oh, I do have a Mirth. I do. I had to think about that. Yeah, I do have a Mirth.
Because I remember seeing him, I'm like, do you even know what game he's from?
And I was like, blah, 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 and also blah, 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 blah. And you were like, all right, all right,
just checking.
Yeah. Because again, like I said, the amiibo that I have are amiibos from, they're characters from games that I like. And that's why I wanted the amiibos. Not that I had any intention of using them in Smash Brothers, because as I said, I don't even own the game. And I thought about turning on my Wii U the other day to buy it so I could play it.
And you were like, nah.
I know like 3 people with a Wii U. And of those 3 people, I think one of them might have Smash Brothers. And I don't necessarily know that I want to play Smash Brothers with that person. So let me just not open up that can of worms.
Right. Understood.
I'm waiting, and I want to hear more information about the NX from Nintendo to see what it's going to be like. But when your statement is, it's going to have chips and stuff that's going to put it on par with the Xbone One and the PlayStation 4, when you say that today...
But you kind of can't say that, because if you really look at those consoles, even Sony and Xbox are not parallel to each other.
Correct.
In terms of their capability. So you can't say that, because they're already at a slope.
And frankly, you know... saying now that you're going to have a box that's going to compare to those two when the previous box was supposed to compare to those two, like, you lose Nintendo.
Lying. Why, like, you fucking lying?
Why you always lying? Stop fucking lying. Just seriously, to stop it. To stop fucking lying. And this is why we shouldn't sing unless we're in the same room together. Because
I'm sorry.
We can't get the timing right. And it's just really bad for everybody involved. Well, you know the meme. You know what we're talking about. So, you know, at the end of the day, here's where I'm at. I'm tired of all of the fighting about PC versus console. Because I hate to break it to you guys. Your console is a PC. I hate to break it to you. Okay? I know you don't want to hear it.
PCs are...
But it is.
These are apples, consoles are oranges. At the end of the day, they're all fruit.
Yeah. No, it's not even like that, though. They're all freaking...
It's like PCs are apples.
Consoles are apple pie. Like, seriously, it's like, hey, by the way, this is a peeled apple. This is a not peeled apple.
Oh, any my gosh, questions? That's what, they're still an apple.
They're both apples. I hate
here's
to, like...
Here's your brain on drugs. No, actually, you know, here's a frying pan with an egg in it. Here's a frying pan with another egg in it.
Any questions?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I hate to break it to you, but your console is a PC. It is just a specialized PC. It's not as powerful, actually, as a tower that you would build yourself. But it has the same operating system. Like, everybody flipping out about, you know, the Xbone One having games and them being on Windows. I'm like...
You know
that the Xbone is running Windows 10, right? That's why it's easy for them to bring their games out on Windows 10, because they've already made it for Windows 10. It's called the Xbone. Just gotta stop. Okay?
Just let it go, guys.
That's why you can plug your controllers in to your PC and use them. Surprise!
People just need to stop. Like,
your PlayStation is a PC.
We're all unique snowflakes, but we're all snowflakes, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, so just, like, accept that everything is PC gaming. You just have console versus desktop. Like, that's where you're
the
at.
The difference.
It's like desktop versus mobile. That's the only difference, is where you're playing them. Okay? So that, now, your PC is much more powerful because you could build a much more powerful tower if you're building towers. Okay? Think of, like, the space that your console takes up. Okay? If you were to build a desktop in the same form factor, it would be a laptop. And guess what you have to give up on your laptop? Some power, because you can't get all the components
in. Well, that is to say my firstborn child.
No, well, if you want a laptop that'll be able to push VR, possibly.
Maybe.
I mean, because those are like $3,500, but they're starting to pop up.
So much.
MSI has a couple. You know, I spent some time at Newegg, and they were showing me around the machines, and I got to play Space Pirate Trainer, which is a VR game using an HTC Vive, and it was running off of this 15-inch MSI laptop. Now, it's a beefy, heavy fucker, okay? And it's $3,500, but it ran it beautifully. Okay? So, okay. Like, it's out there. Power is out there if you want to pay for it. It's just that most people don't want to pay thousands of dollars for their console. But you got pretty close in the last round. Like, remember, because see, I don't think a lot of people do. Initially, when the Xbox and the PlayStation came out, the PS4, to get your hands on them was like $700. Remember?
I remember. Okay? I do.
They've only recently.
I ain't got that. Bye.
They've only recently come down into the sub $400 areas. Okay? But at launch, they was $750. And 800 respectively. Okay, so like let's just all remember what games are, what consoles are, that we're all one community, because I'm really tired of the fanboying, and let's just play games that are fun and have experiences that are fun. And for those experiences that are not fun, hey, raise a flag and be like, this could be so much more fun if, because developers are much more open these days to fixing those things now. Like, look at all the shit that Bungie did to change their game around so that people would play it. You know, the Division's doing a great job of listening to what the community really is enjoying and what they want and tweaking their game, you know, after the fact, which is something you can do now because of cloud-based stuff. So, like, let's do that. Let's just enjoy all that. And I don't have much hope for Nintendo moving forward. I feel like Nintendo is about to very seriously Sega.
Oh no.
I feel like after the NX, they're going to focus completely just on their mobile games in the US and arcade, and
that could very well be the case. You're absolutely right.
Internationally and be done with it, because I'm not real hopeful right now for where the future of console gaming is going to be and go. So that's my gaming stuff. That's what I've got. Now, I know, Panda, you've been watching some anime.
I absolutely have. And
I think you have a recommendation for me.
I do. Well, I mean, I have a recommendation for a lot of people, actually. Not just you, but because, you know.
Oh, well, fine.
I know you're gonna like it. Maybe other people will appreciate this just like I know you will, okay?
Maybe. We'll see.
We know that I am a fan of suspense, horror, mystery animes. I love things that have a lot of substance. I mean, animation always has to be on point. Usually with those type of shows, however, you won't get the best opening song, however. But it does make up for that, obviously, in narrative, which we know I am clearly a gamer who is narrative driven. I need a story in my games. I need a story in my music. I love stories in my cereal in the morning when I eat cereal. So clearly I am completely and utterly narrative driven. And I was looking at this YouTuber by the name of the Anime Man, who I kind of came on to by accident because I thought he was somehow related to Markiplier, but he's not, but that's fine. But he will do, like, really good recaps of the new seasons when Crunchyroll releases them. And he decided to do one on all of the latest suspenseful animes between last spring and winter. And on his list, as an honorable mention, he brought up The Lost Village, even though he said it was going to be coming in this summer, the spring to summer set of shows. But he wanted to bring it up now because it was completely worth mentioning. In this series, the opening just gives you essentially screenshots, or rather flashes of a person's face and their name. And right off the bat, even though the song is not necessarily downtrodden or depressing, you know, usually any type of series that has more than, and I'm going to safely say, 8 protagonist characters, you get introduced to more than 10 characters in the first 2 episodes, you are looking at either a light novel conversion anime, you are looking at a video game, like a harem or something like that type of game,
right,
or you're going to be entering into a kind of murder survival game mystery anime. And my gut was absolutely right. And in the beginning of the story, you are overseeing this bus. And this bus is filled with 30 people.
I mean, that sounds like a full charter bus.
It is. And it's completely full. And they're going on this bus tour to, and I'm going to butcher the name of it, but it's like Nakamura. And it's this village that has this huge urban legend that all these people who are on this bus going there have known about and kind of are enthusiasts about it, because the urban legend surrounding this particular village is that if you truly no longer desire the mundaneness of your life and you want to escape your life and start a completely new one, when you get to this village, that's it. You get to start over and no one will ever find you again. And mind you, most of the people who are on this bus are relatively young people. Like, I think the oldest participant that you get, and he's more reluctant at the beginning, is the guy who's driving the bus, because he was kind of doped into it. Like, he didn't realize that, you know, this bus was, you know, going to a place that, you know, people don't come back to. Like, he thought it was like a regular tour. And the tour guide guy is very upbeat and very seems friendly and, you know, has all of their screen names, because they all met through forums discussing how they no longer want to live. And, I mean, granted, none of them are outrightly like, oh, I just want to end my life. Like, they all are running from something. Or multiple things. As of right now on Crunchyroll, there are only 5 episodes, and it is completely and utterly cryptic. They do, in the first episode, get to pretty much the threshold of where this city, this village is going to be. And they're all getting really, really excited about starting new and, you know, not having to think about their pasts. And it seems all well and good until they get there. And there's no one in the village. There's no sign of life in this village. However, like, it's not decrepit. And it's not, like, completely and utterly worn down. Like, it looks like it's been preserved.
Well, yeah, because it's very strange when they get into the village. Because there's no signs of lives in any of the buildings.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's grass and there's animals and stuff, but there's no people.
But the land is being taken care of. It's being groomed. Like, they find a bunch of different gardens, and the gardens have been tended to because there's vegetables ready to be harvested.
Right.
So,
and obviously, if it would have been completely abandoned, animals and weeds and stuff would have taken over that. They wouldn't be maintained.
Exactly.
So, like, there's something going on. And, you know, the main-ish character, who I'm really... And I don't even know if I really want to label him this, but, I mean, we seem to be following this one boy, and his name is Mitsumune, I think. And he's very positive. And, I mean, everyone on this bus definitely seems like they're hiding something, and they're putting on this mask. And, you know, like, there's these two who wanted to elope because their families didn't agree that they should be together. And, you know, there's, you know, one guy who clearly looks like he has always been at the wrong side of a deal and always getting shafted. So he's kind of angry, outwardly angry. And then there's like a socialite who just doesn't want to, you know, be a socialite anymore. A lot of these seem to be like strong first world problems.
They're almost all first world problems, actually, for people on the bus. Because most of the people that are talking when you first explore the episodes, right, it's very weird because they all got on the bus looking for the promise of being able to escape the lives that they were in and start over fresh as somebody different with no baggage. Like, that's what everybody wanted. Not necessarily to die.
Right. No,
but they wanted to escape the realities that they lived in currently. Yeah. And so it gets very weird because they meet up with this other woman down the road after they've already been traveling to this village, which begins with
like,
an N.
All are slowly beginning to establish bonds between all of them, and then all of a sudden they have to go and make things awkward by adding that mystery person, which is a clear trope that happens in these suspenseful... right, exactly. Like, all of a sudden, somebody else gets added and shit fucks up. And that's kind of what happens. Because as soon as she shows up, like, people are like, who is she? How does she know this? Blah, 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 blah. And then the bus driver gets all fucking emo, and he's all like, I don't want to go. Like, I'm not, you guys cannot make me put my bus over here, because if it gets stuck, like, I'm screwed. And then, I'm sure, of course, that's exactly what happens. And things don't really start getting weird, though, until they've kind of gone through the village, have kind of been like, oh, well, I guess I'll stay here until somebody shows up, you know, and then I'll apologize, like, whatever. Like, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they keep hearing these sounds. And to some of them, the sound sounds like an animal, like a really big bear or like some coyotes or, I mean, somebody eerily said that it kind of sounded like a human scream. And it really kind of depends on who. And obviously, there's this big level of mistrust between people because, mind you, these are all people who met through a forum. It's not like, I mean, some of them seem to have connections outside of that. Like Mitsumune has his best friend, Hayato, who came on this trip, who I actually think Hayato might have, like, the biggest boy crush boner for Mitsumune, and that's why he went. Mitsumune happens to pretty much like any girl who's got tits generally, except for the one girl who wants him to like her. Like, first world problems, lady. And then you've got your weird characters who clearly have more information than they are letting on, which... We got one character who we've kind of are seeing more of now that we're in episode 5. I think she goes by Lion in the series.
Yeah.
And I actually thought Lion was somehow related to Hayato because she does kind of look a little similar to him and she's always kind of half glaring at him and stuff. And so I think there's something there. I'm not 100% sure, though I would stake my anime credit on it a little bit. So anyway, fast forward a little bit. Some of the people... somebody tries to kill somebody, and I don't want to say who, but he was pretty unstable from the beginning anyway, so I knew something was going to happen there.
He didn't
and
try
they,
to kill, but go on, I'm going to correct you, go ahead.
I'm not talking about Jack.
All right, never mind. I'm talking about somebody else.
Because Jack kind of went in a little nut-nuts, and with that, like, cleaver thing... Like, that whole thing, try to, like, kind of slash up the other, like, the pirate-ish looking guy.
Yeah, who's not a pirate and doesn't know how to fight and actually isn't badass at all, but is, in fact, a coward. And
yeah,
that
exactly.
Pirate whole get-up and him being a badass is the mask that he...
And that's why I think Jack even attacked and tried to break that facade that he said he had.
Correct.
But that's
because Jack
neither here or there.
Yeah, nope.
Jack is not stable.
No, Jack is not stable.
Decide... Because of this action of his to, you know, lock him up.
Which is a mistake. By the way, what village has a jail that they've built in the basement of a building?
Yeah, I know, right?
That should be clue number two that maybe this was not
on here.
A cool place to live.
But anyway, after that point, pretty much half of the group of 30... I want to say about half of them.
Yeah, half.
We're getting the fuck out of here. Like, we're going to get to the...
Shit's not right.
We're getting to the bus and we're going.
Okay.
You know, and they decide to go off. And, like, there are a couple of people who are, like, either enthusiasts of militia or happen to have been part of something militia-ish. And
I think that they both played survival games.
A lot. Well, I mean, one of them
that's really, why the, like, girl says meow all the time and has BB guns and has ridiculous BB guns. All the stuff. She plays a lot of survival games.
Who has, like, some, like, high-tech shit. I think either maybe he came from a family where, like, there was a lot of that and he was trained.
Bing, bing, bing.
That's my thought. But anyway, so they decide that they're going to guide and go with this team that wants to leave. And eerily, like, they have the map from the lady who, like, got them there in the first place. And she's like, this map should help you. And they're doing all the right tracking things so that they don't get fucking lost. And they're all the rings on the map. They're counting them down and they're marking the trees. Very smart. Like, I think this is the first time that we've actually had really strong, capable characters in a difficult situation who knew what to do about that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was very impressed. I'm like, but see, something's going to come into play here that's going to fuck with them. And no sooner did I say that, did all of a sudden, did they come back around to a lesser number on their thing. So, like, they went through this loop, even though they had been traveling, apparently, one way through the woods. And this loud noise is getting louder and louder, and it's getting closer. And they find this tunnel that looks like, you know, there's something at the end of this tunnel, and you want to get through it. And it's really dark, and they're like, well, we're going to go in there. And some of them start walking in, and you start hearing all these screams. And one of the girls, the one who's kind of obsessed with Mitsumune, even though he seems to have, like, no interest in her whatsoever. She's like, there's a giant Mitsumune in there. And he's, like, 7 feet tall. And he's, like, he's giant. He's massive. And, like, she's terrified. And mind you, Mitsumune is a cute, like, little boy. So, I mean, like, I don't know why that'd be super terrifying. I mean, like, if he was, like, Titan-sized and was eating a human, maybe. But that's all the detail that she gives. But it causes a panic in the 15 of them who've gotten to this point. And through the scuffle, magically, our pirate friend falls down and is presumed dead from the fall. And from that group, they all manage to get back to the village and recount what they have seen. And everyone's stories are completely and utterly different. Like, the girl who saw the Mitsumune saw that. Someone's like, oh, I saw some scratch marks like a bear. Like, no one has the same story. So I feel like this, whatever has happened here, and, I mean, from it, I feel like maybe it was from the first inhabitants of this town. Maybe they were into some, like, ritual shit, and something went down, and now it's all wonky, and now the place feeds on your fear, which leads you to disappear. Whether you become something else, you get sacrificed to something else, or you get murdered by somebody else, because I'm not saying that there isn't going to be any person-to-person murder in this, and it's all going to be supernatural, because I believe that we've got several people who are in this group who I don't think would think twice about murder, since one is kind of all about executing people, like, all the time.
Yeah, she's about torture and death.
Yeah, like, she's all about that. And she's got the creep when they cry eyes. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, don't leave yourself alone with her for too long, because she'll rip your nails out. Like, there's a lot going on, and they're really good about slowly releasing things and not throwing them out in such a linear fashion that it's going to be a quick solve. Like, they really know how to build up the mystery of everything. There have been some photos from the series that they have leaked out. There are 5 of them so far that they've leaked out. And depending on which order you look at them, I feel like it gives you a really strong indication as to who disappears when-ish. Now, mind you, the cover that you see on Crunchyroll literally is just the main character Mitsumune and this one girl that he seems really kind of into, who I think her name's Mikasa, I think. And it's them at the tunnel, and there's light behind them, and they're the only two left in the, or at least they're the only two in this shot. That's what I should say. But through the other pictures, you actually see from the 5th one to the 1st one, you see the whole group, and you slowly see certain people are no longer visible. So through other means, I think the main cast, we're only going to see about 6 total by the end of stuff. So, I mean, a group of 30 dwindling to about one-fifth of its size, that's fucking crazy.
So, here's my thoughts on Lost Village, because you would be correct to recommend it to me, Panda, because I have been watching it.
Oh my god, it's so good.
And I think you and I have a little bit of a difference of opinion of what's going on.
But we did add another too.
Yes, we did. And so here's what I am thinking. If you watch, and I would suggest that you rewatch the episodes again. And this time, pay very, very close attention to Mitsumune, his character. Okay. In the episodes. Watch his character. And any time his characters on screen are being referenced. Because there's a moment in one of the episodes where it seems like he's having a dream or a nightmare. And in the dream nightmare, he is in a hospital and he's waking up. There's a woman that appears to be a mother crying that she's so glad that he's okay, that he's okay. And then runs past him and hugs somebody else. And he has this moment of, Mom, what are you doing? I'm right here. I'm right here. That's not me. And then he feverishly wakes up. So here's my take.
I totally know that replayed in my head. I know exactly. He's on the bus and he falls asleep and he has that dream.
Yep. Okay. It's very interesting when he wakes up from the dream how people are acting or not acting around him. Because you would think that somebody having a nightmare like that would definitely have some motion going on and people being on a bus.
Like, we should wake him up. Is he okay?
Right. And none of that happens. And further down, spoiler alert, guys, in episodes, there's a point where Lion, in trying to keep everybody organized around a conversation, lets it be known that she can actually see dead people. And, like, for a moment, Mitsumune had disappeared. And everyone starts going, oh, no, he wasn't. He was there. Or I think he was. Or maybe he really wasn't. Or that kind of thing. And then she later has a conversation with him and then talks about how it's not that, but what she can actually see are people who are about to die. That's an interesting thing. If you go back earlier in some episodes, you'll notice that it's not that Mitsumune is attracted to everything with boobs except for this one girl. It's that he's extremely shy and he's constantly seeking affection and acknowledgement from females. And anybody that he's gotten the acknowledgement from is no longer a conquest. So since that girl already has acknowledged him, like called him out to go someplace to walk and, you know, is actively seeking him out, I think that that's the reason that he's disinterested. And that goes back to the dream.
Oh my God, it does.
With his mom.
That
figure, right? Okay.
Right.
So now go back to the tunnel where there are people who are going into the tunnel. There was more than one person that said when they went into the tunnel that there was a giant Mitsumune in there. And it wasn't that it was just a giant Mitsumune in there, but it was how Mitsumune was in there and why was there a giant Mitsumune in that tunnel. I do think that people see different things in the tunnel and that what they see in the tunnel is meant to keep them in. And then you have the girl that Masaka, I think?
Or Masaki?
Yeah, something like that. I think it might be that. Who ends up helping Mitsumune when he gets bound up.
Right.
And she's really been his focus. And if you notice, when she helps him, she's wearing different clothes.
I'll have to rewatch that episode because because she's wearing a blue dress, I think, in the first few. She's wearing a dress.
Yep, she's wearing like a purplish blue
dress,
and she's not wearing that when she helps him. Now, why is she the only person that has changed clothes? How has she changed clothes?
Especially because it's not like any of them went with bags.
They didn't bring like big bags, or a couple people
No, backpacks. People pretty much. Some brought backpacks, like the military people brought backpacks.
But that's it.
So, but they left all their otherworldly possessions behind because they're supposedly starting a new life.
Right. So,
and she didn't have a bag. She was actually somebody who didn't have anything.
Right.
So where did the clothes come from?
Right. So here's my thought on it. I think, especially because she's really apologetic at times to Miss Mooney, especially after, like, he has a moment where, you know, he's protecting her against everybody else and actually chooses her over his friend Speedster.
Yeah.
Even though he's warning, like, no, seriously, like, trust me, you cannot trust that girl. Have I ever been wrong? Have I ever lived you wrong? Which I think is always a very interesting statement, because that's how he comes at him all the time. It's like, you're supposed to listen to me, because, remember, I helped you with that thing, and I've been guiding you ever since, and have I ever been wrong? And his answer, Mitsumune's answer to him is always, no, you're right. And he's like, you can't trust that girl. So here's what I think happens. I think that, to a degree, something had happened in the village, and the village itself ended up consuming the people in the village. And I think that Misaki, or Misaki, whatever her name is, her mission is to recruit more things for the village to live off of. Because remember, she's the only one that, after they get to the village, is, like, adamant that nobody try to leave.
That's right.
Because I think that if things try to leave, then that's when the village becomes even more aggressive in its pursuit and consumption.
Right.
Of people in the village. And because she is an ethereal thing connected to the village, that's why she's able to do things like, oh, I don't know, change her clothes when nobody else brought extra clothes, be in the right place to help Misaki at Mitsune get out of being captured, to maybe, oh, I don't know, present to people through the one way actually out of the village that is safe, that tunnel, the things to scare them back through the tunnel. So you present to them the thing that would terrify them the
most.
But
she wasn't with them, though.
But
When they went to that tunnel, she was still in the village.
But if she's an ethereal character, she's not actually physically really a person.
Right, so she can be just about anywhere.
Probably anywhere around the whole village.
Anywhere and all places.
So. Like, because remember, it was really interesting that, like, how did she know that they were going to take him bound to that particular house and throw him into that dungeon?
Right.
Because she wasn't with the group when they threw Jack in there.
Right. She wasn't. That's right.
So how would she know where to set the fire, to scare everybody out of the building, to then go down to the building to get Mitsumune out?
See, but now I also feel like, so it might, and she might not be the only one involved with this either. I don't think she's the sole, like, I don't think she's the spire, the strongest spire. I feel like this is not an act done alone.
And here's the thing, I don't disagree with you, but I think that you and I are going to disagree with who the second person is.
Okay.
Probably. I think it's Mitsumune.
Do you think it is him and he's unaware of it?
Yep.
Okay. Because, I mean, here's my thought.
I think the village is a manifestation. I think we're about to get sent elsewhere. I think the village is a manifestation of a desire that he has inside of his heart. And it failed. And that he is constantly trying to consume something to fill the void that he has, that he missed. But I think that he's dead. And I think she's dead.
Maybe.
Especially in the last episode. So, you've watched episode 5, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, so and here's the thing about that title, because it's like, oh, the Yuna's, like, Yuna's in all three places. And I'm like, I know that we have three people who are all like,
there's too many Yunas in one place.
So I'm just like, like, there's something up with that. But,
and you don't even lose a Yuna that you see.
In that episode. Like, here I thought we were going to lose one. And I'm like, why are you setting me up for the thought of this? Like, they're kind of wagging the dog a little bit, because they're making you think it's going to go this way, and then nothing relating to what you think is going to happen.
But I think it's a setup for it. Because, remember, everybody went running from the building that was on fire, right?
Right.
And then Mitsumune and Misaki end up in the forest. And Misaki tells him, she's that, you know, there's something that she has to let him know. that she right. had. That so she's and getting then he ready. Sees that
weird penguin thing with half a human face on it.
Right. And did you look at the half human face? Rewatch the episode. Rewatch the episode.
I'll have to now.
And I would suggest that you pause it when that big fucking thing appears.
It looks like half a penguin, a toy penguin, and then has half a face on it.
It actually has three different things on it.
Okay.
So watch it again, and then look real, real hard at the third thing, which is the person, and then try to remember the nightmare. So this is why I say the village, I think, is caught up with Mitsumune and Misaki. And I think that's part of the reason why some of the artwork that you see is focused on the two of them in the tunnel.
Okay.
Looking forward to the light.
All right.
And nobody else.
Right.
And then you have some of the other artwork for it, which is focused on the key people of the story. And I think that's why you only see them and not, like, the 30. And I don't think it has anything to do with those being the survivors, but you'll notice that those key people that are on some of the artwork, you know, like the versions that have the bus on the bridge.
Right.
Okay. You'll know, if you pay attention, you'll notice that those key people that are in front of the bus are the people that initially stay in the village.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Well, I mean, Hayato initially left, but comes back. Because he's part of that party that tried to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think there's something with him, too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he might even kind of be a strong manifestation and not...
Ding, 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 ding!
And not be real. Ding, because ding, no one ding, ever ding. Addresses Hayato but Mitsumune.
Ding, 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 ding!
So, and like... Yeah, that's what I think about him, because no one ever really talks to him.
Nope.
Except for when someone does acknowledge that, oh, he didn't go with him. But I don't, actually, no, that kind of debunks it, because that girl is like, I'm surprised he didn't come with you. And he's all, like, mad about it. But most people don't seem to interact with him at all. And he's primarily there for Mitsumune. So I'm sure I think there's something with that, too. But... It is very interesting. It also gives me, like, this weird sense of, like, it kind of borders on that story that's from history. The Roanoke mystery, like, the whole colony just kind of disappearing and no one ever knowing what happened to them and stuff like that. Like, it has that kind of air of finesse to it, which I happen to really, really like. If you want to watch it, like I said, there are 5 episodes currently available on Crunchyroll. They release... every Friday at 9:30 at night, so it's a weekend thing or an early morning Saturday thing.
It's
in
a
my
weekend.
Case. But you can get it there. It's super interesting. I'd love to have somebody else to pick brains with, because there might be things just like today that I didn't pick up on that Ninja did, and things that I might have picked up on that Ninja did not pick up on. And I feel like this is a really good way of getting the whole context of this narrative, which is very complex, very layered, and very interesting.
Yeah, it is definitely a very, very layered series, which is cool. I enjoy those kinds of series a lot, and I'm definitely enjoying Lost Village. I do think that what we are going to find as you get through the series is that it is very much all about Mitsumune, and I do think that his friend is more of a manifestation
than an actual person.
Uh-huh. I think that. And I do think, like, at the end of the day, I think what we will end up finding is something along the lines of really being Saint Elsewhere, in that I think that this is all that it's one of two things. It's either all in Mitsumune's head, and this is a thing that he has created in his head to escape his own reality. And I think he was abandoned.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that that's one possibility. You know, because even when What's-Her-Face was getting sick, before they got further along in the bus, and she was, like, in the corner, and she was, like, trying to hold her breath in order to... you know, make something happen or not make something happen when she's going through her super sister stuff. Like, he was running around trying to help her, and that guy said something really cryptic to him. And it didn't even faze him, and he just ran off and kept going to go and help her. And I'm like, so there's nobody else roaming around anywhere near her to do that? I think that it all revolves around those two.
I think you might be right.
All of this ethereal weird stuff that is going to happen is going to revolve around those two. And I do think that more people are going to die. Like Tatsun, more people are going to die.
Oh man. Oh, I mean, yeah, Yotsun, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
Yotsun.
Yeah. He here's the thing. Like, I totally feel like his death was because he tried to provoke something in her. Like,
well, yeah, he
was trying to get into her panties. I get it. But I also feel like since you brought this whole point of her kind of being like this pinnacle, this, you know, driving force, maybe even like a priestess of sorts to sacrifice, you know, energy or whatever to the village or whatever, like something mm-hmm. similar to that. And like when she got attacked, I think something from the village, like the village manifested.
Uh huh.
Did something to protect her because she has a job to do.
Right.
And stuff right. like that. Right. But I was like, man, I'm like, nope. I'm like, you're dead. Well, the funny thing is the other guy who was with them was all like, oh, yeah, I know he, like, took her to a corner or whatever. But, like, he was still kind of in the area. How would he have not seen or known? Like, there's so many big holes here.
But here's the thing. Remember that guy's face. Like, he always looks like a fox.
Right, so he's cunning. Yes. Yes, he's mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I love how they play up that trope, too. Like you have the girl who's like, oh, I can see dead people. It's like, actually, no, I can just see when people are about to die. I'm so interested in her. And at first, I wasn't sure what kind of character line was going to end up being. Like, I actually kind of thought she'd end up being, like, the Mary Sue of the group, who'd be like, guys, I totally know what it is, but I can't tell you what it is yet. Very similar to the girl in Another, who was just like, I know who it is, but I can't say anything. Because, like, she could have been like, it's her, and that could have been the end of that. But that wouldn't have made for a good narrative, which I understand. But still, like, with great power comes great responsibility.
Or something right? like that.
Or something like that. But yeah, check it out. Completely and utterly check it out. I know
highly recommend.
I know now I'm going to, when this is all done, I'm going to rewatch that last episode and figure out what this Tokimune is. Because I remember the name that he says when he looks at that giant thing, but I don't know the things that it makes, like what makes it up. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that some more because I totally did not catch those things that are very poignant, I think, to the story. And once again, I'm just gonna say this now, I totally think that you're on a stronger track than I am. So good on you, bro.
I'm just highly observational. And there are things that I've still missed because I've rewatched now the first couple of episodes each once, and I will do it again because you pick up more things when you're looking for them and not just trying to take in, like, the high notes. Like, whenever I watch an anime series, I'm always like, all right, so who are the key players? And I'm trying to identify who that is by how much screen time they have and, you know, who do they interact with all the time. But, like, the whole thing is spooky. Like, everybody on the bus seems to know this song that they're singing, which is really...
Very morbid. There's a lot of morbid songs.
Extremely morbid songs, and they're all singing it all happily. And I'm just like, okay... If all these people were from different regions and they just met on...
How would they all know this song?
How would they all know this particular song? Like, and it's not like it's a wheels on the bus type of song, okay? So there's that. And then there are other songs that they break into at other times that seem to be these really obscure things from around the village area, like lore and stuff that's from around this region. And they all seem to know that as well. And I'm like, how does that happen? And it's only if they're being fed this information. And are they being fed the information because they're in the village? Or are they being fed the information because it's all in Mitsumune's imagination? And so he's making up all these people and all their histories and everything that's going on with them because it's his dream.
Maybe.
So that's just a thought that I'm having. That's a line. I mean, only 5 episodes in. I think the next 2 episodes of Lost Village are going to be very crucial.
I think we're going to get the tilt now.
Yep. And so we will definitely, after the next 2 episodes, come back and talk about this. And see where we're at with our theories. So, there you go. We talked a little bit about games. We talked a little bit about anime. It's time to talk about all the places that you can find us talking about video games and anime and other nerdy-like things. Make sure that you visit our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Straight up, electricsisterhood.com is the jam. And I'm not just saying that because I made it with the fine members of the Esh team, but I did, so I am. Make sure that you bookmark our website, that you check out all of our news, our reviews, our previews. They're all up on the site. We're getting ready to launch our news section because we've got a lot of news that we're doing now, thanks to Evermore. So please make sure electricsisterhood.com is bookmarked. You can grab a hold of our blog feed easily off of our website and subscribe. So the moment we put out new content, you get it. That includes our podcast, which you'll find every week either on our website or in iTunes on the desktop or on your iOS device in the podcast application by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also check out our reviews and our news articles in Apple News. Just look for Electric Sisterhood and then tap the plus box to add us to your favorites. And then our news will be in the For You section every time you open up Apple News. It's pretty dope. You should check it out. Make sure that while you're checking out our site and you're checking out our podcast that goes out each week, fresh and popping just for you, that you hit us up on social, on our Facebook page, Land of Esh, so facebook.com/Land of Esh. Check us out on Twitter, at ESH News, and we're also on Instagram, at ESH News. Surprise, surprise. And the whole team shares all kinds of stuff, photos of games that we're playing, photos from events that we're going to, videos and stuff like that. It's pretty dope. You should totally...
It's so dopey, dope.
You should definitely check it out. We just want follows and likes and stuff because...
Follow and like me, please.
Also check out the other great members of our team. We love the entire Esh family in no uncertain terms and in no particular order. That includes B3Crew.com, Held Down by a Homeboy, King Baby Duck. Definitely check out the No Borders, No Race podcast, celebrating its 10th anniversary of existence this year, which is completely awesome. Also, make sure that you check out the Issues program with Phil's Recap Review, hosted by the Issues guy, Phil himself, doing recap videos, starting with Thrones now, because Game of Thrones is back.
Death and boobies, death and boobies, death and boobies, death and boobies.
Boobs. So make sure that you check all those recaps out. Big ups to Phil crushing over 100,000 subscriptions. We are so happy and proud.
Yay! Good job! You're awesome!
All the stuff that he's doing. So make sure that you check it out. Be part of the live recaps and in chat. It is a fantastically fun time. Also, SmashRook.com, Held Down by Our Homeboy Hamsterman 2049, doing live streams every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure that you check him out on his Twitch channel, playing all kinds of games, not just the new stuff. Throwing some old bangers in there as well. So make sure that you check him out, SmashRook.com, Wednesdays, on his Twitter feed, on his Twitch, playing the games, having the funs. Be part of that. And closing things out, our homies, the newest to the fam, the babies of the bunch, if you will, nerdcrave.com, coming up with all the stuff that nerds crave, comics, manga, anime, gaming, it's awesome, nerdcrave.com, so purple, so awesome, check it out. I love their Anime Women of the Week, so make sure that you check out those features. They are awesome, introducing you to some really cool characters from all sorts of different animes out there. And, yeah. So with that, it's time to end this podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Bye, everybody.